Hi, I'm Mike Pownall, and welcome once again to the Veterinary Business Matters podcast brought to you by Oculus Insights. I'm really excited to introduce Winnie Zukowski, who works with me at Oculus Insights. She runs our marketing. I have known Winnie for a few months now, but why? And it seems sort of like I'm patting ourselves on the back at Oculus Insights, but Winnie has been doing some presentations with Oculus Insights at our summits and at the Veterinary Business School on marketing that are such a fresh and new approach to marketing in the veterinary space that I thought, I want to get Winnie on the podcast because this is stuff veterinarians and veterinary businesses need to hear about. So welcome, Winnie.
Thank you. Happy to be on.
So tell us about yourself and what brought you to, in your experience, and what brought you to be able to give such great insights to marketing to the veterinary industry.
Well, great. I'm happy to. So I've got about, just over 25 years of experience in varying industries, in varying marketing roles, working with it kind of a nice mix, if you will, of business to business, business direct to consumer, and a whole mix, if you will. So with all of that, and working with the various industries that that I've worked in, a lot of that time was spent in the veterinary industry. So I've been able to meld a lot of that together and realize that there were, as you mentioned, Mike, there were some holes, if you will, or some opportunities for veterinarians and veterinary practices to think a little bit differently about how they approach their customer base and how they're rightly targeting customers, if you will, and bringing that forth.
So, yeah, and I know when I first saw you present on this was at the Equine Business Management Summit in Wisconsin earlier in September, and you had a half day or full day session on customer profiles. And it was one of those things that, first of all, why don't you explain to us what the session was, and I'll give my feedback on it, but just why don't you give an overview of what that session was about?
You bet. So I did a half day session with the business summit, and then I've also done quite a bit of profiling work. I'm as part of our veterinary business school as well. It's a key component in any marketing program. So this session is meant to be very interactive and really help attendees to build their own profiles and take a look hard at their customers with varying levels. So it's not just about the demographics or even the psychographics, but you're getting into the emotional connection and how you're really going to connect and appropriately select the customers that you will then target and want to profile then for your customer base.
So can you just dig in a bit deeper? Because I'm like, you've used some terms that I'm like psychotropic. I'm not sure what that means. And so when we're like, what is a customer profile and why does a business need to have these customer profiles?
You bet. Well, the one thing, if you think about all the big brands that are out there that are very successful and they're making a lot of progress and they're people, the brands that you think about all the time, the one thing that they have in common is that they know their customers, whether it's their current customers or oftentimes their ideal customer. So it may not be who they have, but they've mapped out who their ideal customer is. They know them intimately and target their message or campaign to connect with them. And in doing so, and how do you get to that point is by creating a profile. Or you could use the term persona. So I'll first define, what that is. So when you think about profile or persona, and for our purposes here, what I've done for the veterinary industry is I've combined them really into one. In modern marketing, you're looking at profiles will be a little bit different from personas, but ultimately what I just want everyone to think about is a deeper connection with their customer. And it's a portrait of that customer. It's insights into their world. It becomes their kind of how-to guide, if you will, of how to reach those particular customers. You're going to dive into, you're going to name this particular customer base, and you're going to give this customer a photo. You're going to put a photo down. So you have in your mind, it's easy to connect with and think about, okay, this is who I'm talking about. This is who I need to detail some information. You're going to take some basic demographic data. And so when I say demographic data, I mean age, occupation, where they might live, what their status might be, whether they're married or not, if they've got kids. So basic demographic type information. Then when I mentioned psychographic information, so psychographic information starts to get to what they think about. Ultimately, what they want to know, what their worries are, what they're looking for, in life, basically, what their challenges are, what some of their behaviors might be when they're looking at, you know, buying behaviors and what have you. So you start mapping all of that out, and that starts to be what pulls together. In our case here today, we'll call it a profile. That starts to become what your profile is.
So how detailed do you get with these? Or like, you know, because when you talk about demographics and marital status and income and all that, I mean, you're talking sort of a broad range. You're not doing a persona for every lawyer or every doctor or every, you know, student that's a customer of yours.
No. So what you'll do, the first step is taking a hard look at your particular business. So you first want to sit back and say, okay, you know, how does my customer base break up? When I think about age ranges, for example, a lot of people like to look at an age range, but you get that typical customer in your mind and you say, okay, I've got this customer and I'm going to call her Sarah Busy. And she is a lawyer and she's somewhere between 35 and 55. So this particular profile maps out a good chunk of what your customer base might be. So that'll give you a pretty good base to say, okay, yeah, I mean, somebody might not be a lawyer, they might be something else, but what we're getting across is that they're a professional and that they've got some like-minded principles, they've got a like-minded approach, and that gives you a pretty good feel for who that particular customer might be. You then might have someone else who fits a little different profile. Maybe they're a little bit older and they're more retired, and so they'll have some common interests and some commonalities. It might be a male that you're looking at there, and so there's some differences when you're looking at male customer bases versus female customer bases. So you map all of that out on based on what your current customer base is. Take a hard look at what you want to achieve from a business standpoint and say, does this make sense? Am I getting what I need to get from a business standpoint with these particular sets of customers? Oftentimes it can be probably five maybe that you're looking at, but in some cases you might have 9 or 10 different customer bases when you start mapping that out, which then leads you to ask some additional questions to say, does this make sense? Can I even target 10 different types of customers? Does it make sense for me to go after these 10 different customers when I really should be only focusing on 3? So it gives you that good insight into your business, but that's the first step, is just getting a feel for who I need to target, need to map out some information about.
That helps a lot. So when a business is putting this together, how do they do that in terms of who should help with putting this process together? Is it the practice owner? Is it a group work? How long should they take to do this? What are the steps in this?
So with profiles, I should probably step back and think about, well, why should you even create a profile in the first place? Because that's really becomes the driver for the how. When you're thinking about profiles and why you should create them, ultimately, what you're trying to do is make smart business decisions about moving forward. You want to spend your marketing dollars and your marketing time effectively, because both are key resources for your practice. So when you look at that, you need to make sure you're being effective and efficient with those particular decisions, and it could be services offered, could be pricing levels, it could be what shows or events to target from a marketing perspective, it could be offering new programs. So there's a lot of insights that you can gain by doing profiles that help feed that strategic business and or marketing planning outcome, if you will. So with that, what it helps you to do, it helps you to do smarter spending. So you're targeting your customers where they are. You're engaging your customer more quickly because you're better understanding those particular customers when you create these profiles. Ultimately, when you're creating your content, when you think about content, it could be Facebook posts, it could be articles, it could be an FAQ, just anything that your customers are consuming, you want that content to resonate. So trying to put it into what their needs and understanding what it is that they're trying to accomplish and putting it into their words will help your content resonate at a deeper level. And again, by understanding your customer better and creating these profiles, you're better able to create that content that resonates. Ambassadorship is another big one. Why create profiles? Ambassadorship is something that I actually tout quite a bit in this particular industry, and that's, you know, word of mouth. When I think about ambassadorship, that's word of mouth. It shows that you understand your customers. They think that you then understand your friends too. So if your profile and you're creating your content, you're targeting and getting them in the right manner, they step back and say, you know what, they get me. They understand me. This particular practice understands who I am and what I'm all about. They're going to understand my friends too. So I'm going to spread the word because I think they're going to do great work for them too. So that's probably the first step, is just think about why create profiles in the first place.
So once you have the profile created, I mean, what's the next step? So it's, you know, like you created 7 or 8 profiles. How does the business, I mean, do you share that with the staff? I mean, how do you maximize the effectiveness in this? And if you, you know, you're a small vet practice, maybe 2, 3, or up to the larger practices, I mean, I guess the process afterwards would be the same. What's the next step then? You've created them. Now what?
So with the profiles themselves, you want to share these as broadly as you can, but I also want to say internally as you can. It's not something, you know, a customer isn't necessarily going to want to see their profile sitting out there saying, well, gee, you know, well, that's not right, and this isn't right, you know, or they might get offended because you think that they think, you know, one particular way. So it is an internal document. I want to stress that, but you want to share it broadly within your staff. So share it with your key staff so they understand what it is you're targeting and who you're targeting and why, what kind of content might resonate, what their actions are as a result of all of that. So you asked the question previously about, you know, how do you get these done? Who do you involve? And from a profile standpoint, you want to make sure that these, I don't typically recommend that you do these alone. Even if you're a solo practitioner, you can potentially pull in, if you've got a couple of key customers that you really trust, you can pull in a couple of key strategic customers to come in and say, hey, you know what, this is what I'm trying to accomplish with my business, and I need to better understand my customer base. Would you mind coming in and helping me map out these particular profiles? You can make quite a bit of progress, quite frankly, in a day. If you do it in kind of a workshop format, start mapping all of this out, you can make quite a bit of progress. But it's something that you want to also continue to tweak. Once you've got it done, and it gives you your plan, it gives you your information needed to complete your plan to move forward on who you're going to target and how you're going to target them and with what kind of messaging. Always go back, and you can just ask your clients questions when you're out there, just to continue to validate the information it is that you've pulled together. So there's a lot of information you can also use. You've got a lot of this information already done and ready. I'm not suggesting you need to go out and do a lot of research to help answer some of the questions that are pulled together. You certainly can, and I always do recommend that you do some type of research, customer research. It could be a survey, it could be a focus group, whatever it might be to help you get to the meat of what you want to put into your profile. But the fact is you actually know your customers probably better than you think you do. The process of going through these profiles and answering some of these questions just gets you to pull some of that information out that you know or your staff knows as you pull this together. So again, probably a day workshop that you can run through to get a really good start, and then you could take it and tweak it from there or help fill any identified holes that you found during that research that day.
And so how often should a business revisit their profiles? Let's say you did it in 2016, you know, every 2 years, every 3 years?
I actually recommend you take just a quick look at it every year, just to make sure, see if there's anything that you needed to add or tweak, or maybe you've missed the boat, or maybe there's been some big business, you know, change in the area that's really affected your customer base, and you need to start maybe targeting a different type of customer. But a good hard look probably every 2 years for sure. But I wouldn't let a year go by without at least taking a peek at it.
So as I said earlier, this podcast is brought to you by Oculus Insights. Oculus Insights offers business training and education for veterinarians, practice managers, practice owners. The big Oculus Insight difference is that we give skills, not just knowledge. So you can leave a course, one of our summits, 4.5-day immersive experience, one of our workshops, 1-day single subject, in-depth analysis of a subject, or the Veterinary Business School, a multi-year program for veterinarians, practice owners that gives an MBA level certification without the expense and time that it takes to go to an actual MBA program. Our goal at Oculus Insights is to give skills that you can leave a program and you can apply right away to your business. So, question I have, these profiles, and I would look at them as a great way to analyze the customers that you could potentially reach, but also the customers you don't want. So I think this would be a great tool to say, why are we chasing after these kind of customers? They're not who we want. And I think it would make, it'd be able to communicate, because I know as a practice owner, there's certain clients that our veterinarians and our staff say, oh, I wish we could have them as a client. And I know that, well, they don't really fit into the kind of clients that we want. And I guess this would be a great tool that to help explain to your staff why that kind of client is not who you want.
Absolutely. You bring up a great point. With these profiles, as I mentioned in the beginning, just the sheer process of going through them helps you start to narrow down and identify, you know what, this is the type of client that I do want. And you know what, this one over here, while I'm not necessarily going to turn them away, I'm not actively going to go after this particular client base. So understanding, even mapping them out, quite frankly, understanding where they interact and how they interact. Those are the types of things to know that, you know, as you're pulling forth on your marketing or other activities, knowing where they are or where they aren't is very important, as is, and even more so, knowing where your ideal clients are and where they aren't.
It would be really interesting. I'm just thinking, if you had in your practice management software that there was a little area where for each of your client, you could assign them that profile. So as you said, Sally busy, and there was just like, you know, these are 1 to 10, for example, and you sort of had a chart that number 1 is Sally busy, number 2 is whoever, that you can sort of look at over a year. You can say, well, of our revenue, 20% of it is Sally busy, 20-30% of it is something else. And it would be, because if you're doing your marketing campaign and you're targeting, it'd be interesting to see, did we grow that segment? Or there's a group of customers that we have that we don't want anymore. Can we sort of not grow that segment? And I think having that real data would be able to really quantify how well your marketing efforts work by going after different customers. So any practice management software people listening to this, this would be a really good idea, I think.
Absolutely. That's actually one thing that we had talked about both with the veterinary business school and in the workshop that we went through, is they're looking for those answers to be able to A, track and be able to better metric where their practice is going, and is it the right direction, and are the marketing investments that they're making, and again, I say time and dollar resources, are those investments being efficient and effective, and do they make sense, quite frankly? So being able to identify that and then measure that in the future, I think is absolutely important.
So as somebody who's, you know, working in veterinarians now, and with your, you know, extensive marketing background, are there other areas that as veterinarians we're not really focusing on that we should to be better marketers?
So, yes, one of the challenges that we had, and it was great during the workshop, because you started to see some light bulbs come together and go off, if you will. So, you know, we broke up into groups, and we gave some folks assignments to start to take a look at specific profiles and to map those out. And in doing that, what I was doing is asking questions, and I'm getting people to think a little bit deeply about that emotional connection with the customer. And in doing so, you need a pretty good understanding of the customer base and how they think and what's really important to them, and ultimately then how you can help. And so the process of mapping all of that out, and I gave them a basic format they can use for profiles. I've got a format that I can provide and I, you know, recommend. You can quite frankly go out and Google and find out one that works best for you. You can create your own. They can be as extensive or not as you like to see. They're extremely flexible, but I want them to be something that is of use to you. And so, as I mentioned in the beginning, something that's a mix of basic demographic type information, so it just helps you get in your head ultimately, you know, what they're looking at, and combine that with some more emotional type connections, what their challenges and needs are, and then taking that time to think how I can help them. So I could, you know, I can read through an example of a profile that we did. It's just a rough profile.
Yeah, please.
When we talked about Sarah Busy and we said she was between 35 and 55, lawyer, we broke this out as a sport horse owner profile. And so we start this off, and what I actually encourage people to do when they is just to write a paragraph. Just sit down and say, okay, picture stare in your mind, get that photo, Think about her name, and we called her Sarah Busy for a reason. So she's got a last name that ties into her life, if you will, and then just write a paragraph about her. So, for example, in this case, we just kept it pretty short. We just said Sarah's passionate about her horses. She's competitive and always wants the best for her and her horses. She doesn't like to cut corners. She struggles to find as much time as she wants for her passion, so wasted time is frustrating to her. Downtime for her horse is beyond hard, and she depends on her trainer to give her the best advice and keep her horse sound, healthy, and winning. She wants to be rewarded for her good work. So just taking that time to think about that and write through a paragraph like that suddenly gives you insights into Sarah that maybe you hadn't thought about. Again, it helps validate that you know your customer better than you maybe think you do, but it starts to pull out some things that you can then kind of glom onto the whole wasted time being frustrating. So what are some things that you might be able to do to address that? Downtime for her horse is also, super frustrating. She depends on her trainer. So when you think about that, you go, I'm going to have to map out my trainer, because if I haven't actually done a profile for a trainer, I need to do that as well, because they're huge influencers in this particular case for my business. She likes advice. She wants to be given some things to think about and wants information. And then ultimately the last statement I said was she wants to be rewarded for her good work. So that also shows that she likes to be validated. So yeah, she'll be rewarded for her good work in the ring and her, doing well with her particular horse. But at the same time, are the things that you might do as practice that could help recognize her and help her make her feel important, if you will. So that just taking that first step and mapping out that first paragraph gives you a lot of insights. Then you can dive into some specific things like demographics. When you say, okay, she's married with one child, she's got a hunter jumper focus, but she does follow dressage as well. She boards and works with a trainer. She's got a 175K income. So mapping some basic demographics out. Going into then buying behavior, when you start thinking about, okay, well, how can I potentially connect with this particular person? She's active digitally. She uses mobile and tablet almost exclusively. She's on LinkedIn and she's active in Facebook. We already talked about her relying on her trainer and what competitors are doing and what's winning. She shares information with friends if she's happy, and even more so if unhappy. She follows the circuit locally and in Florida. And she makes decisions quickly, wants to know cost, but cost is really secondary to her. So just taking the time to map out that buying behavior will also give you some good insights on where you might target and with, are there other people that you need to be thinking about, again, to target this particular Sarah Busy person.
And then if you had it like, if you have a small animal practice, companion animal practice, similarly, Sarah Busy loves her dachshund, does anything for it, takes it to the dog park, so regardless of the species, this applies just pretty well anybody.
Correct. Yeah. This type of process will go for anything, whether it could be, a cat owner who's actually really big into breeding and showing their particular cat and taking them to, taking them to the shows and doing what needs to be done. Or it could be another owner that it's their baby, they're extremely important to them, they'd be lost without them, so you can map out all of this no matter the species. I'm giving you an equine example just because this is what we had actually mapped out for this particular summit. It had a very equine focus to it, but again, as you said, this can apply towards any particular species in any format, in any fashion. And that's the beauty of profiles, is you can map them out to make them work best for your particular business.
Yeah, I find, doing this exercise, after seeing you do this, I started doing this ourselves, and it really makes you think of all the other components of this person. So you talked about, who else is their influencers? Where do they get their information from? So you really start to get a bigger understanding of their buying behavior. Yeah, I've got to reach this person on Facebook or Pinterest. It really does help, and I find it's also helpful once you have this done, then it makes it easier to train your staff of how to deal with these people too, because you've identified it. So I think they're a valuable tool, and it's one of those things that's like, you know about it, you hear about it, and then when I saw you actually present it, I was like, it was like a forehead smacks, like, duh, why haven't we done this in our own practice? This is an integral part of a marketing plan, and I sort of think it's easy to skip over it, but this is essential. It's so invaluable. So I appreciate your insights onto this, and I'll make a point of putting people, your contact information on the podcast. You're available for consulting with veterinarians on this too, as I understand.
Yes, by all means.
So we'll have all your information if anybody wants to contact you or wants more information on this. I thank you very much, Winnie. I'm glad you're able to share this with the audience.
Oh, thank you for having me. I think it's a really crucial, important piece to planning and strategic planning for your business.